Hey there, everybody. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2013, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send that email on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. This is a jam-packed show this week, so we must get started. If you have listened to This Show So Gay in the past 4 years, you would know that one of the most important issues, one of those issues that's near and dear to my heart, is ending the ban on gay men giving blood. And there are shockingly efforts few and far between, but happily right now there's a new effort to get the White House to pay some attention to working on this ban and getting more pints of blood donated where they are desperately needed. And we turn to my former stomping grounds, the wonderful world of Sarah Lawrence College, where I'm joined by three members of the Sarah Lawrence community. First, Professor Dave McCree, how are you?
Doing good, and good to hear from you.
And David, who's a senior there at Sarah Lawrence?
Hey.
And how about Cody? You're there too, a senior.
Yes, I am.
You guys should be doing your schoolwork. You don't have time to be on gay radio shows right now.
Maybe.
You let it all go to hell since I left, Dave. Come on. All right, well,
we actually have them working very hard on this petition as well right now, so they have double duty.
Good. We enjoy that. Dave, let's start with you. Now, this is an issue that I know is something that you've worked on for years and years. And again, as I said, this is a place I used to work, an issue that you and I have worked on together. Give us a little backstory on how we came to be where we are right now.
Well, the college has been addressing this issue for several years, as you say. And right now, the people who are running Student Life Committee, which Cody is the president of, have really kept on this issue from the beginning. And
great.
So we've had a chance to keep going through it, keep talking about it, and not let it just disappear. And that kind of culminated this year as Obama got reelected in, well, this seems to be the time to say, listen, it's time for you to respond. You're talking about our community. You're using us as a place where you think progress should be made, and here's some serious progress. So we're trying to ask him to live up to what he's saying.
Now, Cody, historically, the Committee on Student Life there at Sarah Lawrence College was indeed the group that years ago, and gosh, it's got to be like 8 or 9 years ago at this point, Dave, which doesn't make me feel good about my age, had a ban placed on blood mobiles being on campus. So this has been an issue that's been pretty central to that group. What made you want to further these efforts?
We had we last rehashed the discussion 2 years ago when I was chair for the first time around. And it was really something that the entire community was very impassioned about from kind of both sides of the argument as to whether or not we should allow blood drives, to happen at Sarah Lawrence. And we discussed other options like writing to the FDA, writing to the American Red Cross, different organizations, and sort of get our opinions out there. And we would get feedback, but it kind of seemed to stop there and like no progress was being made.
Yeah.
So when it actually came through the committee again this year to maybe talk about it one more time, we were fortunate enough to have Dave to come with us with this great idea and be like, this is something different we can do. It's a different route, something that we haven't tried before that actually has the real potential to give us some results. And so the committee jumped on it immediately, which we were very happy about. David is also actually on the committee on Student Life. And we've been very fortunate that it's something that they've been really willing to work with us on. And it's really just about the actual potential to make change and actually getting back to our activist roots here at Sarah Lawrence.
David, you're a senior in college. You got a ton of work to do. You're going to enter the workforce, it feels like, momentarily. Why spend your time on this right now?
I think the most important thing to me is that as a gay man, I feel it's important that I should be able to give blood because I am a healthy gay man. I should be able to give blood just as much as any healthy straight person should.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel that it's something that's more core to who I am than it is, oh, I'm a student right now, I really don't have time for this. It's something that this is happening now, so I'm going to get on it now.
Yeah, great. Dave McCree, why a petition? Tell us about, give us the logistics of these White House petitions.
Well, the WeThePeople.gov site was set up by the Obama administration as a direct link with the world of citizens in America could directly send a message to the administration, to Obama. He set it up a couple of years ago. And it's to my mind, a great idea. It's occasionally misused. You may have read that some people use it to put on all sorts of crazy ideas, and other people use it to put on things that the administration doesn't actually have the ability to interact on.
Right.
But it's still there as a real way of saying, here's what we'd like. Just yesterday, the news was filled with Obama responding to another petition about unlocking cell phones, and he agreed with the ideas and said he wanted to push them forward. So there is an actual chance to have contact, which is what we've always wanted. So with that available, and with Obama in his second term and free from the worries about re-election and really coming out strongly during this last part of his campaign and afterwards, making gay rights something that he said he wanted to push, then it seemed like the time.
How do we wrap our minds around the 100,000 signature threshold? So, you know, the deal is, in order for the White House to respond, and I think this threshold recently was upped because so many folks were filling out petitions that the White House didn't really want to respond to. So they upped it to 100,000 signatures, which is a chunk of change, even in the social media world. How do we wrap our minds, Cody, around getting to 100,000?
It's definitely hard, and it's something that we're struggling with every day. I mean, we're only 6 days in right now, but we're at about 5,432. That's what I'm looking at this moment. And we're averaging about 1,000 a day, which isn't nearly enough. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, 100,000 is a huge number, particularly when we think about Sarah Lawrence, where this is starting from. We are a community of, I don't know, about 1,400 students.
Right.
We've got a few hundred other people kind of running around between faculty, staff, administration, and grads. So we really, really need to try everything we possibly can. And so what we've been doing is trying to reach out to anyone who will listen to us, whether it be local universities, our friends back home. And actually, we picked March for a very specific reason, because that's, you know, our spring break falls in March. And here at Sarah Lawrence, we get a lovely two-week spring break. But if whether people are going home, if whether people are going away, just kind of anywhere that isn't this campus, that's an opportunity for them to go out there, go back in their environments, and do some on-the-ground work. Really get out there to help make this number possible. It's kind of ejecting us from our little bubble here and really pushing us into the real world. And so it is a daunting number, but we are doing everything we can, and we're also, we have a lovely group of students who are tweeting at every celebrity they possibly can, who are emailing different organizations. Really just making contact is the biggest thing we can do to kind of do 100,000.
And as we were talking today, we have a meeting this afternoon, and we're trying to contact all the college students there are out in this country. There are enough college students who are interested in this, we can make contact. So we're trying to go through their student governments, their LGBT groups that they have on campus, any way that we can reach the college students in this country, because we think there is more than 100,000 names out there. But it's work to make the contact, and that's what we're doing.
I mean, you get NYU on your side, and that's 20,000 right there.
We like the sound of that.
That's why we do this. That's why we do this. Now, David, tell me about the significance of youth getting involved, because I've certainly knocked my head against the wall any number of times before I accepted that, you know, there needs to be more youth involvement on this. This is not solely an issue that can be achieved by one section of the gay community. How significant is it that youth are getting involved with this?
I think it's significant because I think first and foremost, gay youth fighting for their own rights, because I think that, you know, they've seen so much of older gay men fighting for rights, and there really hasn't been a lot of on-the-ground work so far that's really continued and perpetuated that kind of feeling of us deserving our rights. You know, there is a sense that, you know, we deserve them, but there's not that fight for it. So
right.
I think getting gay youth to be fighting for their rights is really important. But I think also we see a youth now that is really more devoted towards equality for everyone. And so I think that that's really where, you know, we can show people that this is where we make change. You know, it's not just that Obama's promise of change comes around magically. It's something where everyone has to get involved in it. And so if the youth say that we want change on this subject, that's how we get change.
Nice. Nice. I'm sitting on Facebook the other day, as I naturally would, sharing this link, as I have done many, many times at this point, and I'm seeing that Brian Batt, formerly of Mad Men, shared the link. who was responsible for that. I think it was you, Dave McCree.
Yeah, I've been tweeting like mad. And I just joined Twitter, so you know, I'm 60. This is all new to me, but I'm working at it.
That was pretty good. Brian Batt's got a nice little audience there of 5,000 friends on Facebook, so that's a pretty good start.
We are trying everything we can imagine. There's a lot of people out there that we know would go with us on this event if they knew it was there. It's really just about telling them we don't have to really argue with anybody. Everyone we come to agrees on this.
Right.
We just need the administration to understand that and for them to have a voice and make that clear.
Now, talk to everybody. I obviously know Sarah Lawrence inside and out, having spent many years there. Well, 4 years, not that many. This strikes me as particularly a Sarah Lawrence thing to do. A progressive, we're passionate, getting students involved. Cody, does this feel like something that is distinctly Sarah Lawrence to be helming these efforts?
This is why I came to Sarah Lawrence. I came to Sarah Lawrence because, you know, I'm a homosexually young person. And I was like, you know, this is a big school where I'm accepted for who I am. And there's such, like I said earlier, we have such activist roots and a history of doing things like this. And it's kind of been absent, actually, in recent years. And this was our opportunity to really get involved. And I can think of nothing that feels more Sarah Lawrence than petitioning the federal government. I mean, it is what we live for. And it's the kind of thing where they will respond to us, and that makes us almost the more fired up to keep doing that. And it's not just a Sarah Lawrence state of mind. This is a state of mind that is shared by students all across this country, by teenagers, people all across this country. And it's something that we can all kind of unite around. And if we can do our part to spread the Sarah Lawrence spirit in addition to getting 100,000 signatures, then I think we've done the job quite well.
Go Griffins. We love that. David, tell everybody how long it takes to sign this petition.
About 5 seconds.
Yeah.
However long it takes you to type it into your web bar.
It's just, I mean, we really have to highlight that. We have to highlight that this is something that will take 5 or 10 seconds out of your life to actually get the White House to take some action to save lives. And Dave McCree, I say save lives, and when I first started doing this work and working on blood drives, I really didn't feel I was couching it in the right words. And I was about there being a ban on blood drives on campus because they were discriminatory and Sarah Lawrence doesn't have discriminatory practices. And you swooped into that one meeting, and I will never forget, in McCracken, where we used to have student life meetings, and you swooped in and said, keep in mind that the goal of all this, told the whole committee, the goal of all this is to save as many lives as possible.
And it is, that, you know, I think that's why we can connect to the world. What we're asking for is something that everybody wants. This isn't an odd request. And there are plenty of people ready and excited and willing to give blood. They're being told they can't. It makes no sense. And everyone knows that.
Yeah. So this is what we're going to do. We are going to post this on our show, and the link will be everywhere on our site. And then my column this week in the Huffington Post will be very much focused on this issue. So we are going to see what we can do to get to 100,000 and get to it in the next 25 days. Sounds good?
Thank you so much. And just really quickly, it is just a really easy three-step process. Step one is to register. It takes maybe 30 seconds. Step two is sign it, and step three is spread the word. It's really easy. Everyone should do it.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for your help.
Perfect. All right, let's get this done, folks. This is one of those near and dear to my heart, and it's life-saving. So thank you on behalf of everyone. Thank you, three, for, and everybody else there at Sarah Lawrence, and everybody who's signed already, because we're at, you know, we're over 5,000, but we got some ways to go, and we can do it. Thank you guys for helming these efforts.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, you all know that there is nothing I like to hype more than fun people doing amazing, entertaining shows, and of course, for a good cause, and that is what we are bringing to you this week, a new show that we want to tell you all about that you guys have to go check out and maybe even participate in, and we have three guests. I will say, I think this is the first time I've ever had more than two guests in the same segments. We'll see how this works out. Starting off, one of our favorite singer-songwriter, Daniel Gray, how are you?
I'm amazing, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing pretty darn well. So we got Daniel on the line. We have the hilarious Robin Camille. Robin, how's it going?
Hey, honey, how you doing?
I am.
Cocktail sitting nearby. I'm fabulous.
I love hearing that you're fabulous. And, of course, the drag sensation, the ever-entertaining, hi, Peppermint.
Hi.
I love having you guys on. I love having you on. All right, Daniel, let's start out with you. So what we're talking about is going to be in Atlantic City, which, by the way, I've never been to, and it's called Pro Bars Got Talent. Start us off. Where did the idea come from?
Well, the idea came from I was working on a whole list of ideas. You know, I'm always working, always on the breadline, always trying to make some coins and do things. And I was watching America's Got Talent and said, oh, that's an awesome show. We should do that live. And so, except this time promote LGBT talent. So then I contacted Robin about it, and Robin said, this is a casino show.
Ooh.
And then we contacted Resorts Hotel and Casino, and then it all sort of fell into place from there. So, I mean, that was where the idea came from.
That's what you say. But, Robin, let's get your side. So Daniel calls you up on the phone and says, let's do this new project. What did you actually say?
Honey, I said yes, honey, because I'm always trying to get rent money and hair money. Yes.
Now, why a casino show, Robin?
Because that's where the money is, honey.
Yeah.
In the casino. Yes. Get the rent, honey. They be snatching it, all them coins from the blue-haired old ladies, honey. Give us some. Okay.
Because when I think of a gay America's Got Talent, I'm not sure that my mind immediately goes to the blue-haired ladies.
No, darling, but see, they are the people who give the money to the casinos.
Yeah.
So that's why the casinos have money there. So that's why I said, let's go to take this show to a casino.
Nice.
Because that's where the money is, honey. You got to follow the coins, honey. Get the rent. That's what I'm talking about. Get the rent, honey. Ain't nothing going on but the rent.
Maybe I should stop doing a free radio show. Maybe I'm in the wrong business. It could be that.
Yes. You need to do the radio show. It's in the middle of a damn casino, honey, with the coins.
How did you, now, from what I understand, and I am a New Jersey native, even though I don't say that too often on this show, from what I know, there are a lot of casinos in New Jersey. How do you pick one, Daniel?
Well, we chose Resorts Hotel Casino because it was, of course, for the first hotel casino in Atlantic City. And Resorts Hotel Casino also is the only hotel casino that I know of that has an exclusive LGBT bar and club,
yeah.
Pro Bar. And,
yeah,
and they're the first to have that out of any hotel casino in the world. So, I mean, they're always strides and being fabulous and doing amazing things and trailblazing. So, I mean, and that's what we try to do.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they were brave enough to be LGBT supporters and open the first LGBT club and bar in a major, major casino hotel.
Now, at some point, you all were sitting down, and someone had to have said, you know what this needs? This project needs some more Peppermint. Peppermint, how did that come about?
I think that's probably a thought that most humans have. I mean, I read up that the flavor of Peppermint, everyone loves the taste of it.
It's true.
Something that's always in people's mouths, so it just wasn't very long before my name came up.
So many directions I could go with that, and I'm really not sure which one to choose.
Okay.
But they called you up at some point and
Daniel
said,
approached me at one of my shows, and he's always been such a sweetheart, so I was really happy to hear what he had to say. And at first I had no idea what he was talking about, a show in Atlantic City at Pro Bar. But then as he explained more about it, I was definitely on board. I think it's fantastic, and I'm really happy to be involved.
Nice. All right, so right now, where are we at, Robin? Are we getting people to audition? Where are we at right now?
Honey, we are getting people to audition. We're actually doing something with Peppermint tomorrow.
Nice.
At her show. We're going to be getting talent. And if folks are not able to, actually see us at one of the events that come down physically, they can actually submit a YouTube tape or a reel to ProBars.com. Got Talent at AOL.com. And that is ProBars GOTTALENT at AOL.com, just in case some of your listeners are hooked on phonics. Okay?
Yes.
So it's ProBallGotTalent at AOL.com, okay?
That some of them listen to radio.
Tell them about your show, honey. Yeah, tell them the details about your show, honey, so if they are...
Well, I host a weekly show at a brand new bar called Hardware. It's in Hell's Kitchen. It's the newest bar in Hell's Kitchen. And the weekly show is really similar, which is probably one of the reasons why Pro Bar's Got Talent goes so well. My show is called The Pep Factor. And it's kind of like our gay version of The X Factor. Anybody can compete, LGBT talent, drag queens, singers, dancers, prostitutes, everybody comes to perform. And usually we have a weekly prize of $100. But tomorrow, the prize is bumped up because the winner not only takes the cash, but also has an automatic spot in Pro Bar's Got Talent. And
wow.
I think they're only accepting 10 final slots. So there'll be 10 contestants
people.
In Pro Bar's Got Talent. Whoever wins my show, which is the only New York audition for Pro Bar's Got Talent, automatically wins one spot in that spot of 10 to compete for the 8-week run in Atlantic City.
Now, Peppermint, and I'm almost nervous to ask this, Peppermint, define the word talent for me.
Don't you dare.
Define the word talent for me, Peppermint.
Well, it depends on if it's legal or if it's during the day or at night. There's lots of different types of talent that one can have. But in order to get on our stage, you just have to be entertaining and not spill any bodily fluids. That's basically the prerequisite for being in my show.
Gotcha. And Daniel, what are you guys looking for? Is it pretty much the same standards? What with the being on stage and no bodily fluids?
I mean, of course, no bodily fluids. I don't want to see any of that. But I want to see people bring out the fears.
Yeah.
I want to see Beyonce Super Bowl halftime show times 10 on my stage. That's what I want to see.
Wow.
That's talent to me.
Exactly. Bring it, honey. Whatever you have, whatever your talent is, however fierce you think you are and you ought to be, and no matter how many times other have told you that you're not, you bring your on down, honey, and we'll check you out, because it's all about dreams, honey, living your dreams and never allowing anybody to mess with your dreams, so we can help you make your dreams come on true, because one of the top prize for top Pro Bars Got Talent is actually a performance engagement at resorts. A hotel, a casino hotel.
Wow.
So, I mean, you get to perform in Atlantic City, honey. So I'm talking about getting the rent. Y'all can get the rent up on here, okay? So come on down.
Wow. That's pretty darn cool. Now, we should get this out there right away, that a portion of the proceeds are, of course, going to help the LGBT community. Daniel, tell us about that.
Well, it literally makes me sick to my stomach every time I read one of these stories about the kids that are committing suicide and the bullying and everything that's going on with that. So a portion of the proceeds of our show is going to help victims of bullying in the anti-bullying campaign with the Trevor Project and the HRC. So it's our way of giving back to the community and encouraging these kids. Don't let anyone take away your shine. Don't let anyone take away your star. Instead, be who you are. Come on our stage and blow them out the water.
Nice.
And you know, that's sort of the message that we want to get out to people.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. That's an important cause. Hey, Robin, what about those people who have that fierce talent but are just have a little bit of a bout of stage fright? How do we coach them through that?
Honey, look at here. You got to get over that damn stage fright, honey. You got to get yourself some coins, honey. You know, the eviction notice on the door, calling it, cutting off your lights, honey, that'll help you get over the fear. So get your up on the stage, honey, so you can get some money to pay your damn bills, okay? I'm trying to help you live your damn dream. I see you, honey. Okay? All right? This is internet radio, right? I don't want the FCC coming to get me.
I'll bleep you out. Now, but I should confirm, Robin, just to make sure we're on the same page. You are aware that this is not a paid radio appearance, right?
Oh, honey, I know that. I understand.
I'm
that.
Just checking.
Yes, I already bought my new wig for this week. Uh-huh.
What about you, Peppermint? Any bouts with stage fright the first time you got up there in front of people?
Oh, my goodness. I was a wreck the first time I got up on stage. My wig was crooked. My were like, one was totally down by my hip. I didn't even notice it. And but, you know, you get over it. And one person said, you know, just imagine everybody in the crowd totally naked, which didn't really work for me because my first one was at a gay sex club, so everybody already was. That could apply to most people. So, you know, I say I'm not really too sure that that many people have. They think stage fright is something of the past. These days, people, we live in such an automatic world of, you know, instant fame and instant this,
yeah.
and no fear. And I think fear is totally eliminated. Fear of public is eliminated because so many people aren't even aware that they're going to get up and perform in front of a live audience. Most people are used to commenting on Facebook and leaving remarks and developing their talent in such a crazy, fast, slick way that they don't even have the chance to get up and really be afraid of an audience. So I think that it'll be pretty interesting to see actually what happens once the talent hits the stage. But I don't think that they'll be afraid of stage fright these days. Kids are so bold these days and more empowered than ever. So I know that they're going to bring it.
And we also have liquid courage at the ball, honey. So, you know, if they do get up, honey, they can have a shot.
Just in case.
That's right, yeah.
I think that was your first.
I love them. You see why I love them.
I love them, but Robin, that was your first response that didn't have to do with the rent.
I know. Okay, it's either rent or booze, honey. One of the two. Okay, rent hair booze. Okay, that's my mantra. Okay,
It's very zen. It's very zen.
Of course.
Daniel, you've lined up some incredible guest judges.
We have. We do. I'm a reality show junkie.
Yeah.
So when I got the opportunity to work with these people and to invite them to do an event that I'm producing and hosting with these two lovely people, I had to jump at the chance. I'm a reality show junkie. I just will sit there with my popcorn watching them all night long, hoping that she flips a table or something.
Oh, she'll do it. She'll totally do it. Now
I'll send somebody over to instigate.
I think that person is Robin.
Get the ranch.
Well, co-producing, as I well know, is ever a challenge. So I would love to hear all of your takes on each other. Robin, what does peppermint bring to the table?
Honey, peppermint is the ultimate professional. You know, I've worked with peppermint in the past, honey. She always shows up. This bitch ain't never on CP time, and she brings it every time she hits the stage, okay?
Nice.
Because sometimes, you know, you have that, you know, they done broke up with their man, you know, the rent's due, and they come to the stage, and everybody feels it and knows it. Leave that shit at the door, okay? Because some people that are in this venue that you're performing at, they may have spent their last dollar to come see you trying to lift up their spirit. They don't want to hear your shit, okay?
Right.
So as a performer, put your shit in check and go do your thing. And Miss Peppermint always does her thing, okay? And always upbeat, honey. Every time you ask that bitch how she doing, she is fabulous, okay? Because sometimes you ask these how they doing, they gonna tell you about their mama, their broke man, all this shit. I really don't want to care. And don't care about that. You know what I mean? So that's what peppermint brings, honey. Positivity.
I'm so exhausted now. Peppermint. Peppermint, what does Daniel Gray bring to the table?
Daniel is definitely the spearhead. You know, he came to me with this, and it's really the brainchild of Daniel and Robin. But, you know, I think he brings, first of all, he brings together all of his talent. He's worked so hard to bring everybody together, and get the judges. And I mean, the lineup of judges is just phenomenal,
yeah.
I think. So he brings all of the contacts and all of this phenomenal talent together. And I think people are doing this because not only is it a good cause, and not only does it sound like a smash hit, but we love him. So, you know, I mean, there's no other reason to get involved. I mean, it's something that I would do at any time. And he's an amazing guy. His music is fabulous. And, you know, just to see that he's taking another step to do something totally different, which is on a bigger scale than most people could put together. I mean, I'm not even sure that I would be throwing together an Atlantic City show, let alone a competition that runs for 8 weeks. So I think this is, you know, it's pretty awesome. So he's a class act.
Nice. And Daniel.
I second that emotion.
There you go. Daniel, take a deep breath. Go to your safe place. Do your zen. What does Robin bring to the table?
Robin Camille is my everything. I would not have been able to get through most of this show without Robin Camille. Robin is on point every single time. Everything I need from Robin, she 5 seconds, I have it. If I, you know, Robin, this show would not have been possible without Robin. As soon as Robin came on board, everything started falling in place, falling in line. So I say Robin brings the Zen, her amazing humor. She makes me laugh every time I talk to her. She brings her organization and just that fire that she has that everyone wants a piece of. So that's what Robin brings to this table, and I love her for it.
Nice.
Thank you, Robin.
Oh, thank you, darling.
So, Robin, what is the place for me as the radio show host in this whole mix? Because I don't think that I have the talent to bring to the stage.
What do you mean, honey? We all have an inner artist in us. Did you read that damn book, The Artist's Way, honey? There's an artist and a creative soul in each and every one of us, honey. Because I know you can do something. I feel it in my spirit, honey. I think you can tap dance and cook and carry on. I feel it, honey. You are very talented, honey. You've just been sitting on your laurels, honey. Or shall I say resting on them, okay? You got it in you, baby.
To be clear, you do have a hotline that people can call for inspiration, right?
Honey, listen here. I got all kind of shit going on, okay? All kind of hotlines, you know, whatever, honey. Every kind of line, main line, everything, honey, okay?
Mm-hmm. Which brings us to...
I want to come and participate in Pro Bars Got Talent. It's Pro Bars Got Talent at AOL.com. Send us your reels, your YouTube stuff, you know, all of that, honey, okay? Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it.
But I also encourage...
Tell them what cities... Guys, New York isn't the only city. It's the first city that they can audition in, but it's not the only one. What are some of the other cities? I don't even remember.
Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. and Boston. We're also going to be holding live auditions in. But I would suggest for anyone who wants to make sure they get that spot out of the 10 spots to come tomorrow to Hardware Bar to audition for Pro Bars Got Talent at the Pep Factor.
Nice.
With Miss Peppermint.
Nice.
That's right. So get your... online and get a plane ticket from Philly or Boston or D.C. and get
that's
to
right, baby.
New
that's
York
That's right,
City.
Get it. That's right. Get there. Turn a trick and buy a ticket from Greyhound. Come on.
That's
come on.
Right.
Well, Peppermint's one of our guest judges, so I would say make a good first impression and get to the show with the guest judge, Miss Peppermint, and make sure you solidify that good first impression, because maybe it might help you in the 8-week competition and carry you on all the way through.
Now, Robin, what if someone is sitting, though, and they have to decide, I can only pay for either my rent or a plane ticket, which route should they go?
Well, honey, this is about your dream.
Yes.
And sometimes in life, the landlord just has to wait.
Yeah.
Because, honey, you know what? You can sit up in an apartment, at least in New York, you can't for a year not pay the rent. So come on, get that damn plane ticket and come on out here, okay?
Oh, boy. And in addition, I'm just moving on from that. In addition to this amazing show that you guys are putting together, it's not like you guys don't have your own projects going on. Peppermint, you have a song that's out and about.
Yeah, I have an album that's out and about. It has, I can't believe it, it has sold platinum.
Wow.
Actually, I'm not sure it's more like aluminum, but it's on iTunes. It's an album. It's called Hardcore Glamour. And I'm about to release a new single called Dala in My D, which I know Robin Camille is going to be singing because it's all about the coins.
So people can check that out on iTunes. Robin, you have a one-woman show coming up, do you not?
Yes, darling, I do. I have a one-woman show, Robin Camille, Raw and Real, Life from One Woman's Perspective, and it's actually going to be, I'm putting it up at the Duplex in New York City, April 27th and May 5th. So, you know, folks can come on down and see me. I suggest that they, you know, take their medication, have a cocktail prior, because it is a bit rough.
Okay.
You know, I have a disclaimer on the fly that reads, if you're under 21, overly sensitive, or dislike profanity, please keep your ass at home.
Nice.
So that was just the gist of it. Mm-hmm.
I did get fired from the Duplex in 1998, so I would go back and see you there.
Oh, fabulous. Fabulous. Come right down, honey. Close the scene. Okay. I love me some drama.
Yeah, suddenly Seymour 6 nights a week. But then it wasn't working anymore there at the Duplex. But it's a good place. I love seeing performers there.
Yes, darling. And you know something, you know, to be honest with you, Ken, there's so few venues now where performers can put up a show.
Yeah.
Because, you know, other venues like Roses, Turn, Fez, they've all closed.
Yeah.
You know, landlords with these high, crazy rents have pushed them out. They've lost their leases. And performers really don't have a lot of spaces where they can get up and, you know, do their thing and showcase their talent. So, you know, the duplex, we have to keep that alive, honey. Okay.
Yeah, I used to work at a place called The Oaks right there on Grove Street. And it's not even, you know, great piano bar. And Shirley MacLaine was there and Judy Garland, not in my time, was there. And just all these places, so many of them have closed. Yes, so many have closed.
Oh, yes, honey. They lose their leases. Well, listen, honey, you know now the Rawhide has lost their lease.
I did not.
Oh, yes, honey. The Rawhide is closing. The Rawhide has lost their lease, honey. I remember one night I was sitting up in their trunk and all about to fall off that chair, honey, and they cut the lights off. But you know, you go there with friends, you have a cocktail, honey. It's ver. But now it's gone. It's gone, honey. They're over.
Wow.
Because the landlord went up. Their rent was $15,000, and the landlord on the new lease wants to charge them $27,000.
Oh, my.
Can't pay that, but Dwayne Reed, Bank of America.
And true, and that's exactly what's going in there.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's one of the reasons why I took to this project so quickly, is because that's kind of one of the mantras that we have at the Pep Factor. Is, first of all, in New York, there are a handful, plenty of drag shows that you can see, and there's a couple of drag talent shows. But if you're new talent in New York, you would think that coming to New York, if you're an entertainer, a singer, a dancer, a songwriter, that there's plenty of places for you to go and do your thing and perform and perform for new people and see an audience, but there really aren't that many places, let alone places where you can work and actually earn money as an entertainer.
Right.
So it's really intimidating, and it's a hard scene to break into. So at the Pep Factor, we pride ourselves on always being able to welcome new talent, drag queen, fierce drag queens, great singers, musicians, like any kind of talent. If you are willing to step on stage, then we'll give you a place to perform. That's always respectful. It's not one of those places where you get booed off the stage or like people, you know, make you feel bad about your talent. It's a place where you can actually come and try new stuff out. And like Robin said, there really aren't that many places like that.
Yeah. Oh, and Daniel, I hesitate to even ask you this because, you know, we're only an hour show, but what else are you working on?
Well, I have a movie that I'm working on with Miss Robin Camille, a comedy film.
Nice.
Called Gay Porn Superstar. I have a new album coming out this summer called Troublemaker, and I'm writing a book, a self-help book for young people called Sticks and Stones. It's not what you called, it's what you answer to.
Look at that. That's some good stuff. Well, look, I will definitely come down to Atlantic City. I can't believe I've never been to Atlantic City, and I grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah, we'll hook you up with a room, Ken. You know you're one of my favorites. So yes, we'll hook you up with a room, come out, we'll drink, we'll eat, we'll party, we'll do it all big.
That sounds good to me.
Yes, honey, and hit the slot machines, honey. Maybe you can get your rent. Okay.
Robin, just because I would pay to hear you spell, give us the website one more time.
Yes, darling. It is Pro Bars Got Talent, ProBarsGotTalent at AOL.com. Okay.
Oh.
Listen to your reels, your YouTube clips. Come on, honey.
Love it. Love it. Well, look, as I've said for years and years and years on this show, we are nothing if we are not about people who are using their voice in a way that just creates so much amazing energy. And you guys are not only using your own voices to create that opportunity for others, but you are giving people that chance to get up there and say, look, this is what I do. And the fact that all this entertainment comes associated with giving money to such a great cause is an amazing thing. So Daniel Gray, Robin Camille, Peppermint, we wish you all the best with this, and you're going to keep us posted, right?
Of course. I'll keep you posted with everything. You can follow me on Twitter, at Daniel Gray World, hashtag ProBarsGotTalent.
Love it. To all three of you, all the best. Please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Ken, so much.
Thank you, darling. And you keep doing what you're doing. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye, guys.
Some people grow up wanting to be astronauts, flying into outer space. I always wanted to do what I want, be a star you can't erase. Some people dream of 1,000 fancy cars, driving down the highway.
I dream of making everything so fun.
Everyone will scream my name.
Come on, see the sights and dreams of the attack. Like how the engine be screaming my name every day.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, we still have a little bit of time left on this week's show, so let's dive into some of the biggest LGBT stories of the week. Although first, a quick second, I apologize for the beginning part of the show having that buzzing noise. I usually, if there's a technical difficulty, I might bag the segment and say, okay, that just didn't work out. But I did not want to forego our segment on the blood drive. And again, please sign that petition. I take comfort in the fact that Ari Shapiro and Netta Ulaby told me on this very show that they have technical difficulties too. So it's not just this show is so gay. NPR has them as well. We all take comfort in that, right? It's not a gay thing. It's everybody. It's everybody. Hey, stroll on over to the Westfield Galleria in Roseville, California. I'm sure the shopping is great there, but that's not why I'm telling you to go. Apparently, there's a kiss-in planned. A gay couple who was kicked out of that California mall, they are being accused of being sexually explicit, which has them outraged. Daniel Chesmore and boyfriend Jose Guzman say that at most they shared a kiss on the cheek, a hug, and held hands while in that Westfield Gallery in Roseville, California. But the mall says it went further without outlining what supposedly happened, and they insist, quote, there is no basis for the claim that this incident was prompted by the sexual orientation of the individuals. So now what they're doing is they are planning a kiss-in. A kiss-in protest is planned for this Saturday at 11 a.m. outside the mall Starbucks, according to the Sacramento Bee. So if you want to participate in the kiss-in, that's where you go this Saturday, 11 a.m. If you're thinking, what should I do this Saturday? I'm hanging out in Roseville, California. You know what? Maybe I'll go to the kiss-in. There you go. We support that. That's fine. Another kind of really disturbing business story. A newly engaged man in Washington, where marriage equality is now law. That was state number 2 in our series, These 50 States Are So Gay, Washington State. He just discovered that his longtime florist refuses to supply flowers for his wedding. The owner of Arlene's Flowers, Baronelle Stussman, that's quite an amazing name, Baronelle. That's like a G.I. Joe character. No, that's the Baroness. My bad. Baronelle Stussman, she remembers how she broke the news to Robert Ingersoll, her customer of more than 9 years. She said, I just took his hands. This is a quote. I swear to you, this is a quote. Quote, I just took his hands and I said, I'm sorry. I can't do your wedding because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Stussman says customers have refused to use her Richland, Washington shop in the future, while others have thanked her and pledged to shop more there. This is a florist saying, I can't do your wedding flowers because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ said quite a bit on florists and weddings. I don't know. We pick and choose, don't we? We seem to pick and choose from that Bible what it is that works for us. By the way, Baronelle Stussman, I might pick and choose the pieces of the Bible that help your business, because I don't think this is one of them. So, continuing in the business world, but returning to our story that we just keep covering every week, because I'm fascinated by it, the comic books. Superman, Orson Scott Card, notoriously anti-gay, but hired to draw Superman. Or script Superman. I'm sure he doesn't draw, but he's a writer, so he is writing some stories for it. A wave of backlash keeps hitting DC Entertainment faster than a speeding bullet. That's a great line. When the comics publisher announced anti-gay writer Orson Scott Card has been tapped to pen an upcoming story for New Adventures of Superman. DC, as we covered before, they were quick to distance themselves from his personal views, but they said they still support him, you know, drawing Superman. Iconic Superman. They said now one of the artists who was to illustrate the story, he has now departed from the comic. He said this is Chris Sprouse. He said absolutely not. He said, quote, it took a lot of thought to come to this conclusion, but I've decided to step back as the artist on this story. The media surrounding the story reached the point where it took away from the actual work, and that's not something I was comfortable with. My relationship with DC Comics remains as strong as ever, and I look forward to my next project with them. So continue to have fallout. At what point do you guys say there at DC, Superman, iconic, all-American, someone who espouses hatred towards other people, maybe not who we want writing for Superman. Oh, look, one of our illustrators says we're not going to do it either because this is not what it's all about. At what point do they cut their losses and say, Orson Scott Card, I'm sorry. Thank you for your work. Not thank you for your anti-gay views, but we're going to cut our losses and we're not going to go with this. So, but they're digging in. They're digging in, and DC is sticking with him, sticking with him. Hey, Carly Rae Jepsen. I enjoy Carly Rae immensely. She's got more than Call Me Maybe. She's got more than that song than she does with Owl City, which I always forget is a person and not necessarily a group. She's got more than that. She's also got some pretty darn great standards. She has stood up and said, you know what? I was set to do, to play at the Boy Scout Jamboree this summer, but my fans have come together and said, hey, Carly Rae Jepsen, we don't want you playing at the Boy Scout Jamboree because of their ban on gay marriage. And so Carly Rae Jepsen has now come out and said, I'm not doing it. There was a petition, there was some sort of online petition where quite a few thousands of Carly Rae's fans said, you know what, please don't do this. And Carly Rae responded and said, you know what, I'm not going to do it. And I think there's another group that's still set to play. I want to say it's Train. I could be wrong. Train is still set to play, but you guys can look that up on your own. You can do your own work too, folks. You don't have to get it all from me. That's fine. You can get all your gay news from me. I'm getting it all from other people anyway. I think it's Train who said, we are still set to play, although they have the opportunity, the Boy Scouts, to change their policy this summer. So we are waiting to see if they do that. And if they don't, then we will pull out. So we will see. I had this incredible, incredible conversation with a Cub Scout leader at Town Meeting Day here in Vermont. For those of you outside of the New England area, Town Meeting Day is a state holiday. I actually did not go to work. I worked the polls. It's when we elect all of our local representatives. That's what we do here in Brattleboro. A lot of other towns have their town meeting where the whole town gets together and they vote on town issues, and it's quite New England-y and quite lovely to behold. But I was seated next to the Brattleboro constable as I was working the polls here this past Tuesday, and we had just an incredible conversation about Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and just how Scout leaders approach what the Boy Scouts of America, the national piece, has made so complicated for them. But that on the individual level, it's almost inconceivable, I would argue inconceivable, as did he, to discriminate. It's so not what the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts and the Eagle Scouts are about. On that local level, it's about supporting them. It's about inspiring them to be better leaders. The idea that somewhere in there you would be saying to a boy, no, I'm sorry. You can't be a leader. That's not going to work. That just doesn't even come up. So it's a real conflict between the national level and the local level. Kind of a bummer. It was a bummer. It was a great conversation, but it was also a bit of a bummer. Turning to politics, there's a new study out that pro-marriage lawmakers get reelected way more often than not. Not just more often, but way more often. The National Organization for Marriage and Anti-Gay Groups have often threatened that lawmakers who vote for marriage equality will pay a penalty at the polls, but this new analysis from a Washington think tank finds that that just isn't true. Third Way is the name of the think tank. They often analyze cross currents in American politics on LGBT issues. Their new report released just yesterday showed that of 196 legislators who voted for marriage equality in either New York or Washington, 191 kept their jobs. Third Way crunched the numbers, and that works out to a 97% reelection rate, and it also adds context by pointing out that 10% of incumbents usually lose reelection. So if anything, marriage equality appears to help make the case. So there you go. Lawmakers in Washington and New York and hopefully other places support marriage equality, and 97% chance you're going to get elected. It worked for me here in Brattleboro. I'm not up for election yet, or reelection. I will be next year. We'll see. In the world of the media, this was a kind of a nice reminder that, wow, this is not what I do in the media. I mean, you don't need to know all that much to know that I don't do what Bill O'Reilly does. His is a very different type of show than mine. Did you guys know that? It's different. By the way, I don't think I've ever even sat and watched it. I've seen clips of him fighting with people, but I've never sat down and watched the Bill O'Reilly Show. But now he is just blatantly attacking people on the street. He's verbally assaulting them on the street. He's got this thing called Jessica's Law that he wants to pass in every state, and it dictates penalties for child molesters. Now, there is a new, Colorado has now their first openly gay Speaker of the House. Okay. And his name is Mark Ferrandino. And so Mark Ferrandino has said, we don't really need Jessica's Law here in Colorado because Colorado district attorneys have said that they have tougher laws than Jessica's Law. So why don't we stick with the tougher laws rather than go with the easier law, Jessica's Law? So of course, Bill O'Reilly sends one of his correspondents. Can you see my air quotes? You can't see me doing air quotes, can you? He sends one of his correspondents to go talk to Speaker Mark Ferrandino. And they, you know, of course, they're attacking him and saying, why do you not support a law that punishes sexual predators? Why do you not want this to pass? Your first sexual predator, you know, it was terrible, terrible. But then, here's the fun part. After the interview, O'Reilly, he starts doing analysis of his correspondent's attacking, really, Speaker Mark Ferrandino. O'Reilly points out that Ferrandino is, quote, a big gay marriage guy, and he repeatedly asks his correspondent, what do you think is really going on here? What do you think is really going on here? Thus implying that because he's a pro-marriage equality person, that Ferrandino is obviously for child molesters. By the way, not a lot of logic in between those things. He was able to just jump from one to the other with apparent ease. Isn't that remarkable what you can do when you have your own show? I try to really go step by step. I try not to make big leaps of logic because then you guys send me nasty emails. And also because I like when there's logic. I'm a big fan. But Bill O'Reilly, he doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to do that. So his correspondent, who, by the way, his correspondent, who I keep referring to, was Mike Brown, the guy who really screwed up with Hurricane Katrina and who President Bush, the last President Bush, praised. Brown warned that Colorado is being taken over, quote, by a progressive mentality that says evil does not exist. Wow. So there you go. If you're pro-gay marriage, you are obviously pro-child molester, according to Bill O'Reilly. Maybe not obviously, but he can certainly hint it, and he can hint it pretty strongly. Amazing. Amazing. We have amazing things coming up on some upcoming shows. Oh, I do want to pause. I'm sorry, and this is going to be an awkward transition. Apologies. Certainly our thoughts are with Valerie Harper, what an icon of the gay community and just the icon all over the place. She did an amazing interview years ago with The Advocate, and The Advocate just reprinted it. She did this interview in 2006 and just talks all about her support for the LGBT community. And if you didn't see, she announced that she's terminally ill. So huge ally of the gay community. This might come out wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. I like that we get to celebrate her now while she's with us. You know, of course, we hope for some incredible recovery and hope that that happens. But this is one of those cases where folks turn out in droves and send her emails and thank her for her support. This doesn't have to be one of those someone unfortunately passes away and then afterwards we say, oh gosh, they were great for the gay community. Now, which is what's happening with C. Everett Koop, who passed away, and folks are saying, oh gosh, he was great. Yes, he was. Did we take the time to tell him that? I hope we did. Valerie Harper has done amazing work on behalf of the LGBT community, an amazing ally. Gays love the Rhoda. Love Rhoda. But, you know, she's really experiencing some about as life-threatening difficulties as they come. So do what you need to do to get the word out that thanking her for being such an ally. She is here with us, and she can hear those thanks. So go do that. Awkward transition, I apologize, but certainly wanted to give Valerie Harper a bit of a shout out there. We have incredible things coming up on the show in the next few weeks. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but someone sent me their book and I am plowing through it right now. And it's just, I'm reading this book. It's about someone in Hollywood's relationship with their very famous Oscar winning mother. And again, I'll tell you about it next week when we announce who the guest is coming up. But I'm reading this book and just thinking to myself, holy cow, I am so appreciative to have this opportunity to do this show, because I may have never read this book, and the fact that I get to read this incredible book, and I'm like actually excited to get back to it. And isn't that a great sign of an amazing book? But I get to read it. I probably never would have read it. And I'll get to speak with the author and talk about his relationship with his Oscar, Emmy, Tony award-winning mom. Just so excited. I'm really, I was at that point of appreciation, and I wanted to share that with you all. And of course, we will get back to our series, These 50 States Are So Gay. We always intend to do certain things, and then people call us up and say, we really need to be on the show this week because we have this coming up, as we did with Daniel Gray. And so we'll shift things around. We'll do that. We love being responsive. As always, if you have guest ideas, or if there are local news stories that we haven't seen that you want us to cover on the show, please, please send an email to ken@thisshowissogay.com. A couple of folks wrote emails this week and then were shocked when I replied. Hello. We reply to every single email. So fear not. Your email will go answered. So send it on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Listen to all of our shows at thisshowissogay.com. That's where you can go all the way back to the first show, and you can subscribe to our show on iTunes right there on thisshowissogay.com. And of course, join the 4,000 plus people who are chatting about this show, So Gay, on Facebook. We love interacting with you there as well. I fear I have prattled on more than a bit, so I am going to get out of here. Get out there, folks. Look, you can go do the Pro Bar Got Talent. We'll link to that. Express your talent. Sign the blood ban petition. It will take 2 seconds of your time. Let's get the president, let's get the White House to comment on this. It's enough. It's enough, enough, enough of denying people the ability to give blood when blood is so sorely needed. That's it. That's it. That's the only argument you need. People need blood. There are folks who have blood who can't donate. Sign the petition. It's time to change that, and we will link to that. And, you know, do whatever it is that you do to get the voices of your LGBT brothers and sisters on the table. Love you guys. Have an incredible rest of the week. And, of course, while you're doing these incredible things and using your voice, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay? Mm-hmm.